understands. If there's changes, you gotta let me know, because I won't know unless you tell me. And so they won't be there. If they get repealed or new ones added, it just, you know, just that communication, which hasn't always happened, because in PIMS, they would just add their own and maintain their own local codes. With the prosecutor, I'm the one that has to maintain it, because we didn't give them access to the statutes to edit them right now. We may think about that later if things get too crazy. I don't think it will, because it's not a, editing the statute stuff isn't a big deal. It's, I suspect working with user issues, you know, users don't know how to do something, or they run into a problem with their password or something, that may turn out to be more of a problem than I think, but I think once you get into it, it'll work pretty smooth. But because of CGIS rules, they will have to change their password, I think, every 90 days. And so the system will just say, time to change your password, but it has a pretty good process. It just sends them a note, they go in, they click on this, they just put in their old password, put in their new, they're done. We'll see how that goes when that time comes, if I need to be intervene at all. But
how many users do you have?
Right now, with the ones who have signed agreements, we have 100.
How does that
those work? Aren't implemented. Obviously, right now, we have about 10 that are using it actively.
With the contract with Journal Technologies, how many did we have?
150.
So if everybody that said they were interested comes in with the same number of users they say they were interested in, and we don't have additional ones come on that say that they want it, we would be right at 150 or 160. If we go over 150, there's going to be an additional cost, and I don't know how we're going to handle that. Well, I mean, do we just, if the people are late coming in, do they just pay the additional cost themselves?
No,
or do we divide up, turn everybody, see that? I don't know how that's going to work. That's something we need to be thinking about, though.
Right. Well,
if we go over, and I think we might go over 150 by the time, because people will see it and they go, oh, we like that, and we have it.
Well, the contract is written so that we actually are making yearly payments. But we have the option to pay it all up front, which is what we're going to do. So if we do go over, my plan always has been is to each year seek additional grant funding, and certainly when it comes time to renew the contract in 5 years, if we choose to do so, you know, to have the grant funds for that. So you're right, Ron, is if we go over 150 and there's no funds available, then we will have to address how we're going to assess those costs. But my plan is to...
Okay. So currently the cost per user per year is somewhere around, I don't know, what was it?
$1,500,
I think. Or was it 11? I don't remember. So about $1,500, I think, is what it was.
Well, that's what it was without the $235,000 additional.
Well, yeah. So. Yeah, and that's still going to... I think that's just a per user cost that will apply if we go over 150. The 150 users are covered under the grant.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah, I'd have to look back and see what it is.
So I'm not sure, but it's in the neighborhood of $1,000 to $1,500, yeah, per user after that. So each agency that goes live on it starts their 5-year count as of the date they go live. Right. So it'll be a staggered count. As people get live, they got 5 years from the month and the year they go to where they have to then renew it. And renewing will be something we'll consider during the time we're going through the 5 years and how we're going to work that. Maybe grants will pay it all. Maybe we have everybody start saving up their budget for user fees. I don't know how that'll work yet. Mm-hmm. But I'm guessing that if we can get a grant, we'll just do what we've done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And pay it going forward. So.
Yeah, so it may be by the end of the year, we'll have a better idea, and we'll have to address it, you know, the council at that time, if we're going to have to assess any kind of costs. But
okay. Yeah. And so far, the biggest issue that I've seen that potentially will come up is that there are people who want documents configured for their office. Mm-hmm. And what we've got is a bunch of them that are standard, and the group the people that have been working with Wasatch County, Juab County, Provo City, and South Jordan City were the main ones involved. And they've all agreed to use the ones we have for the most part. There's a few niche cases where they may just run a blank, we've got a blank template that just has the header on it, and then they'll just adjust that in Word, in their Word processor, and just up and then save it and upload it into the system or whatever. So we're still, that'll be an issue we have to work on. Good documents. PIMS was the same thing. Everybody wanted some special documents, and some counties and cities had 30 or 40 of them individual to them. And they were these really niche. A lot of them were niche cases. I mean, you got the information, subpoenas, and summons. Those should all be just standard and go with it. we did a lot of work trying to make those work just as a standard document rather than having a different one for everybody.
Okay.
So that may be an issue going forward, and I'm just learning how to do it. Fortunately, the way it's done is very similar to the way PIMS did documents. And they have a little app that you install in Word, and it just gives you the list of codes you use, and it's a matter of figuring out how they all work. And so I've already got enough expertise in doing documents that I think I'll pick it up pretty quick. I've already designed a couple of them, but JTI did all the ones up to this point. So that may be an issue going forward. So if you need a specific document, we'll have to discuss it, but the problem with documents is they aren't individual to counties and cities. They're all in one big list for everybody. And so we don't want to have too many there, although it's fairly easy to find the one you want. You just start typing the name of it, and it pops up on a list for you, and it's just the way you go. You don't have to scroll through a big, long list to get to it. So, oh, just one other thing, just so you know, we have a search facility in the system, so you can search cases in other offices using eProsecutor. And it brings up a list of all cases with this particular name in it, wherever they're in. Doesn't give you too much information about it, but it says, yeah, this person is in this case, and this is the county or city where he's at. You know, it just gives you maybe the court case number or something like that, and then says if you need to know more, contact them. So it makes it nice so you can just see if your person is involved in problems elsewhere in the state that aren't in criminal history yet or whatever. So that's just kind of a neat little feature that I thought was cool.
Is civil divisions in the offices going on this?
Provo City has been working a lot. They want to do it for sure, and so civil isn't attached right now because we're still working on a few little things and getting a few bugs worked out and stuff. But we're looking at May having civil attached, and from then on, I mean, civil will just automatically show up one day and it'll be there, and civil could then start using it too.
Great.
So we do have a civil portion of it.
And our assigned developer from JTI, they interact with the developers that are working in Salt Lakes, aren't they?
Yeah, they talk around. And so one thing that somebody brought up is sending the declinations to BCI automatically. And do you know Salt Lake County planning to do that? I haven't talked to them to know specifically. If they're doing that, we'd probably be able to piggyback off of that and just include it.
They're not.
No,
we'll be sending an email notice like we do with.
Okay, those. And so that will be an extra project that we'll have to talk about down the road then, because that is a good idea to just send them automatically and have it done. But whenever you communicate with BCI, it's another level of complication then.
Which is why we said.
Which we may not want to do. So yeah, I can see that.
But it has been.
There may be easy enough to make a little search or report that pulls it all the declinations up, and you can just send that as an email, for example. That I think we can do that without too much trouble. So,
but yeah, it's been helpful. At least, I mean, because I'm pretty much hands off. Ron's really done a great job overseeing the committee and working with this. But I know that there has been talk with Salt Lake. That's Lisa Ashman, who's leading in their office. A teaser every once in a while that we're going to go live, but you guys signed the contract almost a year before we did. So, but you have so much more broader scope.
They are definitely a lot bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
It's becoming the same kind of joke that the building was.
Yeah,
yeah. You have a program that will never really go.
Exactly.
At all, Ron?
So, okay, if there's any questions about it, if you want people to get a look at we have a testing version and a live version. I give people access to the testing version even if they just want to look at it. A few people have, but very few. So if you have somebody that specifically wants to at least take a look at it, then I'd be happy to give them access to that.
Does the testing version have the civil on it?
No, it won't. It will when the live one does, but it doesn't yet. So we're looking at probably May.
I'm just wondering if my civil guys wanted to use it or not. I don't know.
Yeah, just to be aware, if you do have civil use it, that is another user that has to be added to the total. So,
then that's why we were wondering.
Yeah, because it makes a difference. Obviously, you have some people that only do civil, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I have two.
Yeah, and some may have a lot more than that.
We have a fifth floor.
Yeah, you have a whole fifth floor. Yeah. Yeah,
good for you.
So anyway, that's where we're at. So any questions? I did update a page on our webpage that shows. E-prosecutor issues, and I'm working on. I'm going to put a web page on our for e-prosecutor on a web on our webpage that talks about common problems, how to solve them. I'm going to be making some videos over the next few months and putting them up so people could go and click and how do I do this, how do I do that. And so that as I solve problems and teach people these things, I'm going to try to make sure that we have it available on our website too as a resource for people can just go and do that. That'll cut down on the number of calls and time that it would take me to do it.
Are you doing the full training for the offices when you go live?
JTI has been doing it up till now, but when we start going past these first four ones, then they're turning it over to me. So I went to all the trainings to kind of see how we did it and stuff. I'll probably change up a couple of things, but mostly I just went so I'd learn how to use it too.
I just want to comment too from being in the trenches before coming to UBC. Ron was always so responsive. You know, when our office would reach out and we had needs with PIMS or programs or statutes or anything, and I'm sure that's your experience as well, but I think it's fair to say and to point out just what a valuable asset he is to those in the state doing the work, needing the help. He's great. And he was great working with our IT people. They always really liked working with him too.
Oh, thank you.
He picks up the phone and answers.
Yeah, he answers the phone, he answers your emails. Yeah. Like, that's nice. Just so valuable.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you.
Okay, legislative update session.
Yeah, so our UPC statute, I was hoping Steve would be here. I haven't actually spoken with him on the phone. I think he's got a sponsor, so I'm not too concerned about that. And then, as I mentioned, you know, a couple minutes ago, this 0.5% surcharge, the DV training dollars, is both Dan, Brendan, the AG's office, and Reed Richards. Between the three of us, we're trying to get with Hutchings and formulate some kind of a plan of attack to try to get that $70,000 back. Essentially, what would have to happen is it went to the shelters. We would just need to kind of reverse the process, get the $70,000 from the general fund to go back to them so that then we would get that 0.5% surcharge coming back. I've got language drafted already that will do that. It's just a matter of convincing them that that's something that we want to do. That's one of the reasons why I prepared that, 10-year look back so that we can approach them and just say, here is how much we have lost in terms of training dollars over the last 10 years and then talk about the training that we would do with it. So that's the plan. That really is the only two pieces of legislation.
If the shelter people don't want to do that, then let's try to get their 70 out of the general fund. That's guaranteed.
Yeah. Well, and actually, as I get into the next section, the financial issues, that's one thing. Yeah. So
they should really want that.
Okay, then this topic of financial issues. So I gave you an addendum after I sent this out to you. Marilyn went back and looked. So I want to first talk about what's on this addition. The non-timely payment of conference registration fees. You can see there at the top, spring conference is our biggest offender. We've got 17 people that still have not paid UPAA, Basic Civil, and OOMPA. We had 9 from fall that hadn't paid, but Maryland has since resolved that. And then county exec, we don't charge for that, but some of you guys just assume, and thankfully, that when you come to a UPC-sponsored conference that you pay, but we don't charge for that. But Marilyn, want to talk about what to do with those funds that we do get.
So before you go, I want to make sure that I don't have a check from your office. If I do, do you want to just go towards spring conference and just apply it to that? Some offices have done that. But this year, I've got a lot more checks for the county executive meeting than I have in years past. So that's why we put it on here, was just to let you know that there's no charge for county executive meeting. There's no registration fee. Because you have to register through UAC anyway, and then we just have, we tack on the meetings after, so there's no registration fee. But you still get the CLE. So UPC is giving you free CLE for that day and a half.
So I guess the question is, one, like she was saying, for those, I don't know, Barry and Steven, if you want to apply yours, if you paid, apply it towards spring. If you want to, if we should refund it.
But if I did, no, keep it.
Don't refund it. So if
it's a donation.
It's, well, that's what I was going to say is...
From the other county.
So we accept it as a donation.
You can apply. What do you think? Apply it to spring?
Or? I mean, I call people or I'll, you know, get in touch with offices and ask their secretary, what do you want me to do? And I let them decide. You know, I can send it back to you.
My suggestion would be you simply send them an email, ask them if they wanted to apply to the next conference. Please let me know, and if I don't get a response, we'll count it as a donation.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's fine.
Sounds simple.
That way you leave it in their hands, and you're not having to keep pursuing an answer.
Right.
Just to simplify it.
Okay. So then the problem that, so why is this happening? Well, what happens is people, you know, they'll register late, and are not coordinating it with their staff, and so we don't get a registration fee. Or they show up at the last minute, you know, they weren't planning on coming and now they're coming. Well, we let them come, you know, and obviously attend. And in the past, we have, once we've registered them at the desk, that's full registration, meaning that they then get to fill out their CLE form, and so they get their credit. But part of that registration fee pays the CLE processing fee, so now they're getting free CLE. So what, you know, we're asking, oh, then, okay, let me just follow my notes here. So then how do we go about collecting that? Do you want to talk about that?
Well, in years past, we've had, you know, Mark or Bob would get up and say, if you don't fill out your evaluation, you know, you don't get anything. So we've come up with a method of, if you don't fill out your...
Oh, no, sorry. What I meant is how do you try to collect those that haven't paid?
Oh, I just send out an email.
To...
I mean, I flag them, and then I send out an email. And these outstanding ones are those people that have not responded to my email.
We paid you, right?
Yes.
Good.
And there's a variety of reason why we fall into this. Bob says, well, maybe, you know, when we talked to you, I was like, well, you might want me to identify who. I really don't want to, because I could say everybody has. There's just different circumstances,
right,
of why this happens.
Yeah.
Why? So I'll send out an email saying so-and-so, and I send it to that person. You know, your registration fees are outstanding. Please send it back to me by this date. Fall conference this year, everybody responded back. These are still outstanding. Spring conference is gone, because that was in a different
fiscal year.
But from basic on, we're still in the same, from basic on, even UPAA was in the very last of last year. So coming forward from July, those are still outstanding, and I have sent memos to...
The attendees.
To the attendees.
Right.
Maybe we would have sent something to the higher.
Well, yeah, send an invoice to the office.
Well, so that's what we're proposing then. Again, just running it past you all as a council, is sending it to the attendee, sending it to the boss, and then we're going to ask UPA, the board, is to create a list of all of the admin secretaries in the county and city offices, you know, divided up according to the you know, states, the five regions.
Their regions.
And generate a contact list and then send it to them. And then, because hopefully then between those three individuals, you know, we get a better response. Because we realize, you know, sending it to prosecutors, y'all get busy and forget to forward it on.
Well, I think a lot
Elaine,
of us think the secretary
send an invoice to Elaine.
Elaine.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Just send Elaine an
yeah.
invoice for our office
yeah.
or anything, and it'll get paid.
Marlise said she wanted to represent the council in small claims court.
Sorry.
All right. just an invoice to Elaine, because Elaine puts it in the to be signed stack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is
there any way to look at possibly being able to pay with credit card?
Yeah, Marilyn knows
about
that.
We've looked into that, and,
okay.
and it's just.
I know it'd be easy.
It's
I know people ask me all the time, well, can I, you know, I'm calling to pay by credit card, and that's maybe where they fall into this is.
Or even when they go online to register, stick a credit card.
It's something with finance that we can't
it's
do.
It's something with finance.
Yeah.
Be easy from the technical side, hard on the finance side.
With the state, there's a fee. CJC does it with credit card, but they're a different organization than we are. So they've been able to use Venmo or PayPal, and there's a huge fee that
they lose about 5% or so.
Yeah, there's a fee that goes along with that, and our finance department, they do not want to mess with it at all. So we were shut down as far as going with credit card, or I would have, we would have done it 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's still cash or check.
You're old school.
I know. I know that's the one area of technology we cannot progress on.
I don't mind.
I just don't get how finance is comfortable with cash.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
With card.
I know. I know.
I brought cash Big back. I have, you know.
Yeah.
That's I have crazy. Done cash, but I have to do it with a receipt, mm-hmm. and you know, people have to sign it. So we've done that for 20 years. You know, I hate to be the old horse in the room, but it's worked in the past. There's, you know.
The state needs to come up with their own online payment system or something.
Some way where there's not
They certainly have it for their taxes.
I know.
You can pay your taxes online real easy.
Yeah.
There's a way to do it.
That's the way it was explained to me, was that there is the courts do.
They use a payment service. You called part of a percentage of your payment. So if your fine is $100, they're going to charge you $104 to make a $100 payment.
Yeah.
And that's the way the courts are doing it.
That's actually not that's the way a lot of people are doing it now. They're charging what they call a convenience fee, but
always a credit card fee. You just may not know about it.
That's
every time you swipe your card to pay for something, there's a fee.
Somebody pays a fee.
Okay, because our finances is administered through the state finance. That's what our financial officer told me.
Well, and they're having to go through a whole bunch of issues now with the cannabis,
mm-hmm. yeah.
with the. Without
that, create a whole new banking system for that.
So yeah,
I can go back and check and see if there's a new and better way, or if there's another.
I just think it would help you as well as trying as well
would
as
help everybody.
It would. Yeah. Or just
if
to
not,
be able to go online.
Then let's do send it to the boss and mm-hmm. send him an invoice and a bill.
And so what
I was still collecting from last spring as well.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to collect it, just because...
No, collect it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just because it's our budget's passed, it can go into this year's budget.
Right.
Is this...
fees.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking out loud. Can we see if it's repeatedly the same offices? Or is it really hit and miss random different people every time?
Well, that was the question that Bob said to me. And I only went back through 1 year, so I really couldn't tell you right now if it was...
But in that year...
And, you know, a specific office, it's just different circumstances.
Okay.
You know, there's, you know, Salt Lake County, they're always really good to pay, but there's a few.
But there's so many of us, I'm sure.
There's so many, and some, you know, they have court that day, but now I don't have court that day. So I'm going to come to spring conference, and they show up, and they write out their own check, or I'll circle their name, or whatever I do, and then I bill them. So it's hard to really say unless it's a small office, and then they always abuse it. But I don't
see. And that's what I was wondering.
I don't see anyone that really stands out. It's just different circumstances that hit different offices at different times for different conferences.
Yeah. So what we're proposing to ensure, you know, that it gets paid is, one, we'll continue to allow people to register that show up at the last minute, but we'll work with Ron. We haven't actually told Ron this, Marilyn and I.
Actually, Marilyn mentioned
it. Oh, did she? Okay. Is they can register. We can put them into the system there at the conference, but their link to the CLE form will not be active until we get a check from the office. So if they really want their CLE, then they'll have to make sure, you know, they get with their office staff and get it paid.
So I'll make a notation, a new little notation in the brochure about that, and then Bob can...
Then I'll announce it.
Make that announcement that if you don't fill out your CLE or if you don't register and pay, you won't be able to fill out your CLE until that's done. And then when that's done... Somehow we'll communicate that their portal is open. So say they're like a week out or a month out or whatnot.
How long does that normally stay open?
Well, see, that's my next issue.
I can keep it open for years if we wanted to.
Well,
that's not a problem. I don't want it. You know, we keep it for like 90 days. But I can make it. The last little while, people have been calling and I didn't get it and I didn't want to fill out a paper one and do all that hassle. So I just opened it for them to do. So they could do it at that time, and that's so much easier because it's all electronic. They get their certificate,
right?
Easy. And so So I can keep it open as long as we decide to.
Right. So I'm glad you asked that, because I guess my question is do we want to consider giving an absolute deadline? Because the very few, I think with this new way of letting off bosses, admin know, we're going to probably see 100% or 99.9%. But I could see that there's going to be one or two that come June of their reporting year, they realize, oh, I haven't filled out my CLE for this course. Well, the problem is then we have to get a check. Maryland has to send to finance. Finance has to cut a check to the bar. Then Maryland has to send a report to the bar. And so this is not an easy process. So to avoid that, do we want to say, okay, X number of months, 6 months, 9 months, a year. Well, I don't know, a year.
I'd like to say 90 days, you know.
I was thinking 90 days, but I was thinking we need to do it for spring conference to go in your June report.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, April, May, June.
So that's 60 days at most.
Yeah.
And that still puts you in a close deadline.
Well, but we could always just leave it on them that if you need this for your June report, then you've got to have it filled out.
Well, but I guess the thing is they have to get it filled out, but do we want to say, you know, if you go, so I don't report until June of next year. So let's say I go to all my conferences this year, but I don't pay, and so I don't fill out my CLE. So in March, April, May of next year, I now come to Maryland and say, I've got 3 or 4 conferences. I want you, here's my check. Now fill out my CLE report.
I think 90 days is plenty.
I mean, I have people coming back.
We've had come back as far as a little over a year.
Over a year.
Now I need my fall conference
last
for 2016.
Someone wanted something back from 2016. So we had to open it all up for them. And you know, then I'm making these special reports. And finance does not want to cut a check for $15.
I will attach that to another
conference, you know, along with that whole report. So...
As far,
we're getting one big check.
Isn't that sort of like a grammar request that we can charge them for the report?
Processing fee.
So just to let you know, the technical, to open it up for them is a matter of a couple of minutes of time.
Yeah.
So it's easy for me to give them access to it. The hard part is then her reporting on her end, getting that CLE reported.
And getting a check cut.
Can't we just say something that if they don't do it within the 60 days and they still want it, they have to self-report? Yeah. I mean, is that possible for you to self-report your CLE?
Yeah, you have to do it when it's out of state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can just use.
So, I mean, we could just say set a deadline. If you don't do it this much time, then we won't report it for you. So, but if you need it, we'll still work with them.
That's your problem, right?
We'll still work with you. I mean, that's my attitude, is if you need it, I'll work with you. And you were there, I'll let you do it. But you're going to have to do the work on the back end yourself.
I agree. I don't think it should be continuing. You be the one having to clean up after it.
Right.
They have 3 months. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Does that solve your problem, though?
It does in a way.
Because you're shaking your head over there.
It does in a way that if they self-report, then I'd like to know that they self-reported so that I can at least check them off as they got their CLE. I mean, that's part of been my job, is to make sure that people who go to my conferences or go to our conferences get their CLE, and we've tracked that. Because they've come back to me and say, I need a full report of my
thing. They can get a full report on the website at any time. They can go to the website, log in, and say, what CLE have I got? It'll show them. It'll say, they log in, they go to the CLE page.
Well, but
they put the date range in, it shows them every conference they've attended and the CLE credit that we have record for.
I'm coming from a customer service
point
of view. The bar would just say, too bad. That it's really on the attendees' shoulders. I mean, that's what they've told me. Is, you know what, if they don't fill out their evaluation, or they don't do what they're supposed to do when they're required for this conference, it's really on them.
It is.
And if they don't pay their fee even to the bar, it's really on them. It's an honor system, and if you don't pay your fee, you know, you're out of luck.
Well, I think you're just going to have to draw a line and then
make sure everybody knows that line.
I do like that idea. Yeah. 90 days or
you can self-report.
Your self-report. Yeah.
So, thank you. So what we'll do is like Marilyn said, is we'll start putting a notice on our the conference registration forms. We'll put it out on the webpage.
And I think we should email blast that to everybody.
Yeah, we'll email. Yeah, and then
beforehand.
And can we put something on the registration page for each one, Ron? For each conference,
I can put it on the registration page and on when they go to do a CLE, I can put on a page there that they have before they log in, even maybe, and say, you know, if you want to, if you want to do this, you're going to have already paid or something.
Since you've changed